Less than 2 weeks until Purdue opens its season. Where do the Boilermakers stand after 15 camp practices? Let's break it all down on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Deanhart. Tom in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
All right, Tom, we're a couple of weeks away still from the opener. I guess less than that at this point. Game week coming up next week. 3 weeks in the books for training camp. Let's talk a little bit of the newsy items. You did get a chance to see a little bit of one-on-one, two versus two work on Saturday in practice. You don't usually get to see that, considering it's often individual drills, which you can only glean so much from. What were your thoughts on getting a chance to see Purdue's starting units and the backup unit as well playing on Saturday?
You know, you always go right to Hudson Card. At least I do, you know. And we've talked about the effusive praise that's been heaped on him since he got here. And he gave a couple glimpses, you know, as to why maybe there's so much excitement about him. In one instance, Kyle, you know, he threw a perfect deep ball to Zion Steptoe for about a 60 or 70-yard touchdown. And then a couple series later, about 25, 30 yards out, you know, he's scrambling, trying to buy time, looking, nothing's there. And he tucks and runs and makes some nice cuts, makes some nice moves, weaving in and out of traffic to hit pay dirt. So sort of encapsulate maybe his skill set in just a couple snapshots there on Saturday. So, yeah, he looks like to be a cut above, as they say. And, you know, offensively too, Kyle, I'm on record as really liking this group of running backs with Mockaby leading the way, Dylan Downey, Tyrone Tracy. And we've talked about the tight ends too. We both like that room. And we got to look at the offensive line, the number one offensive line. Again, we're looking at, you know, Moose has been out, but it's going to be Musa at left tackle and Bo at right tackle. You're going to have Jalen Grant, Preston Nichols at the guards, the two transfers. And in the center spot, of course, we're down the number three center right now. Austin Johnson's been snapping the ball, the Colorado transfer. You know, that's usually Gus Hartwig or Josh Kaltenberger, but they're both out. So, again, Kyle, this offense, I think, has a chance maybe to be pretty productive coming right out of the gate.
How often do you think Hudson Card will run the ball on game days? Any idea?
I don't think it'll be much. I think it'll be a few design runs. I think they want to be careful with him to limit his exposure. Again, just on design runs and whatnot, but I think they want to show it to keep defenses honest. It's certainly going to be a nice weapon on third and one or third and short or fourth and inches to have a quarterback who really is capable of just picking it up if he has to. So, yeah, I think he will be utilized from his feet standpoint, but I don't think there's going to be a ton of exposure there.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about 10 rushes, 10 designed rushes for him per game probably, right? I mean, maybe a few, and then other times where he just takes off.
Yeah. I would think, you know, two or three, four times a game at the most. And again, it's going to depend on, like you said, circumstances, how often he has to improvise and tuck and run on his own, and how many true designed runs are going to be. I think there's going to be a handful of those.
So I came into camp feeling like Purdue, you know, lacked playmakers on offense, and that really was going to hold this offense back. Is it possible that that assumption is wrong and that Purdue does have a few more playmakers out there that we just have not yet seen be given the opportunity? I mean, between, you know, feeling good about the running back situation, as you mentioned, with the trio of guys who have experience at that position, maybe between the couple wide receivers that we know about, we like the tight ends, obviously. Is there enough there offensively from a playmaking point of view that maybe we had sort of undervalued that going into camp?
I guess we just don't know, sort of like what you were alluding to at the receiver spot. You know, we've seen glimpses from TJ Sheffield. Mershon Rice has been hurt most of the time, so as you've seen. So we don't know really if any of those guys really has it in them. I think we all can agree Sheffield's probably the most likely of the veterans, maybe to of the savvy veterans to really maybe break out. More of a recent veteran, the redshirt sophomore Deion Burks, number four. I think that's the guy most people have circled with their red Sharpies. Hey, maybe this could really be the guy who could be the difference maker, that playmaker this offense needs. So we're watching him. I think maybe Zion Steptoe, number 12, redshirt freshman, a guy you're gonna want to watch too. And then the junior college transfer, Jaden Beal Dixon, number zero. I think they're counting on him, maybe providing some juice. He's not the biggest receiver in the world, but he certainly is very shifty and has a knack for getting behind coverage. So we're going to have to wait and see at those receivers for sure who really are going to be the playmakers, I think.
If they're playing a game tomorrow, who do you think that number three receiver would be if you assume that Sheffield would be one outside receiver and Burks in the slot?
I think I think they probably would go with Rice at this point. He's been healthy. Seems like he's had a pretty good camp, and he's a veteran. I think that'd be the guy that would get the nod here initially. But I think it's going to be a pretty robust rotation there, upwards of what, 6 to 8 guys that they're going to want to shuffle in and out. So, again, it's going to be fun just watching that whole unit develop, Kyle.
Yeah. Any thoughts on what the first team defense looked like? I know you have been a real advocate of Dylan Thienemann. He was out there with those ones, I know, with Sanusi Kane off on the sideline. But even when Kane comes back and is ready to go, which we would anticipate for the opener, it seems like Thienemann's going to get some time, right?
Yeah, he's going to play quite a bit. He could end up starting here. They like him a lot. That began last spring when he got here early. Of course, Will Helt got here early, the outside linebacker from Carmel. I think he's gonna certainly play a role too. Jerron Tibbs, a true freshman receiver from Cathedral, has made some big catches in camp, Kyle. He may be a guy that can force his way into the rotation. Not the fastest guy, but a bigger target. And remember, this offense lost Jamal Indrine, the Florida Atlantic transfer receiver, who was a big target to a season-ending knee injury. So maybe a guy like Tibbs could step up and maybe carve out some type of a role too. So those are some guys, I think, true freshman-wise, that a lot of people are keeping their eye on for sure. So it's going to be fun, especially watching the two Indianapolis kids, Thienemann and Helt, here develop in 2023.
One of the more veteran defensive players, Jamari Brown, will not be out there. He decided to leave the team. It just seemed to me a little bit like a fit issue here for Brown. I mean, a guy who is a returning starter, but perhaps does not fit exactly with what Purdue wants to do defensively. I think it's unfortunate that this could not work out in some way, but for Brown, he decided to leave.
Yeah, you know, he's about the fourth or the fifth cornerback tops. Had gotten sort of passed up by some other cornerbacks in that room. I think there was a sense of frustration on his part. And then you talked about the lack of being an ideal fit for this defense. You know, Jamari certainly wasn't an all-Big Ten caliber cornerback, but he was a guy who started, I think, about 13 games at Purdue. Certainly could have helped you off the bench in a small capacity. So you certainly didn't want to see him go, but now he's gone. So, yeah, you know, I think you're looking at Marquise Wilson, the Penn State transfer, being your number one cornerback. I think Markevious Brown from Ole Miss is going to be a top two cornerback, and then they really like the junior college transfer, Botros Alessandro, as well. So they're still trying to sort through those corners, but I get the sense those are three guys that they like a lot.
Yeah. When this team plays nickel, who comes off the field? One of those outside linebackers?
I think it's going to be one of the linebackers, one of those inside guys. You may keep a guy like O.C. Brothers on the field, a guy like Clyde Washington go off. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that role sort of plays out as well.
Do you know who that nickel will be?
I'm really not sure right now who that nickel would be, no.
Yeah. Bennett Meredith was at practice over the weekend. Purdue will handle some discipline for him in-house. Where does Purdue – what's it thinking as far as QB2? Is it comfortable at that spot should something happen with Card at this point, or is that yet to be determined?
Well, he's the guy. You know, Bennett Meredith is the number two quarterback. Behind him is a true freshman, Ryan Brown, who went to prep school last year. He's a little bit of an older of a true freshman, but You know, who knows? I mean, Bennett Meredith has never thrown a pass in a college game. He's just a redshirt freshman. Spent last year at Arizona State. So, yeah, you know, God forbid if something happens to Hudson Card, you know, this offense gets thrown into the lap of a kid who's really has no experience. So there you go. It shows you how critical it is to keep Card upright this year and protected. Yeah. Because, like I said, you got a redshirt freshman. You have a true freshman. Those are your scholarship quarterbacks. And then, you know, quarterback four is probably Kyle Adams, the West Lafayette walk-on. He actually played some football at James Madison. He's a guy, I think, if he had to get thrown out there, he probably could run the offense. So, yeah, the depth chart at quarterback really drops off precipitously after you get past Hudson Carter here from an experience standpoint.
Yeah. In your deep dive over the weekend, you had a number of guys listed off on the sideline. Any real concern about any of those guys other than Gus Hartwig, who we would anticipate, A, is not going to be ready for the start of the season, but perhaps that would even push into October?
Yeah, just really Gus. Colton Berger should be back here maybe within the next couple of weeks, next week's game week. Maybe he comes back that week. So, yeah, I think other than Gus Hartwig, and I talked about the Florida Atlantic receiver who's out for the season, really they've gotten through camp. From an injury standpoint, pretty well. They have the typical bumps and bruises, guys missing practices here and there. A few guys haven't practiced at all, like Prince Boyd and the transfer from Stanford, Salim Turner Muhammad, the cornerback. But again, there's nothing injury-wise that should keep anybody out for an extended stretch outside of the FAU receiver drying. And then, of course, the uncertain status of Gus Hartwig. No, he's not going to be ready for the opener. It's just a matter of, well, when is he going to be ready? Will it be mid-September? Will it be late September? Will it be early October? So that's the one I think everybody's really watching.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll talk a little bit of Ross Aid and the Raiders. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you are doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Tom, Ross Aid Stadium. The sod is in. I have nightmares about that sod coming up in clumps on September 2nd in the evening with all those players running around out there. Hopefully that will not be the case. It does seem like Ross Aid will be ready to go. I know you have been asked this no less than 1,000 times in the last 48 hours. Will Ross Aid be ready to play on September 2nd?
It will be ready to play. And again, I'm just parroting what I'm told by people that sit in the big leather chairs along Northwestern Avenue there in the inner sanctum of Mackey Arena that say this, it's going to be ready. Now, there's going to be details that aren't going to be finished, you know, but nothing that's going to impact the ability to host a game and to host fans. So crews are working 24 hours a day, my friend, and they're grinding, they're pounding hammers and got their blow torches out and their rivet guns. I got a chance to walk around a little bit this last week in the south end zone. It's going to be pretty cool, Kyle, you know, the patio area up there, the Junction Terrace, and then the band and You'll be able to walk on the entire perimeter of the stadium. That's going to be kind of fun. And then, of course, the tunnel, right? Pretty deep tunnel. I was surprised to get a sense of really how long it is it's going to be. And there's still some work that's going to have to be finished with that may not be ready for the opener. But it's going to be a pretty neat upgrade when it's all said and done.
Well, the tunnel's got to be big. It's got to get the world's largest drum onto the field.
That's right.
Don't want to accidentally have something happen where you can't get the drum out there. What do you think do you think it will change the vibe at Ross-Ade? I have always felt like Ross-Ade is a little bit underrated from a, like, regionally and nationally underrated from a game day atmosphere point of view. I think it can get loud in there when Purdue is good. It can get loud. Do you any sense for how maybe the game day atmosphere will change it all, having the entire field now enclosed?
Maybe a little bit louder. You know, that south end zone's a little bit more closed in, like a bowl.
Yeah.
Not a true bowl, but a little more closed in than at least it had been, especially since they demolished those south end zone bleachers a few years ago. So, and the band's going to be down there too, right? All the students are going to be in that end zone. So it'll just be a wall of sound they're hoping that emanates, you know, from that end zone. And I tell you, wouldn't it have been cool if they could have some type of like a mini train track somewhere that ran a little course or a strip of track in that south end zone, like they did something that this train chugged along and tooted its horn, and something like that would have been pretty neat. You know, on those lines, Kyle, they've got something called the station. That's a premium seating option where you can go to Slater Hill and the Boilermaker Special takes you over to Ross-Ade and actually parks above the tunnel right outside the stadium. You can see the train park from inside the stadium. You can watch the game from inside the train or in the back of the train. It's kind of a cool little thing that I think is going to be on TV all the time during breaks, coming out of timeouts. That's going to be a big focal point of the cameras, I think.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, let's talk a little bit of professional football. A guy named Aiden O'Connell has looked pretty good for the Las Vegas Raiders through a couple of preseason games. I guess we shouldn't be all that surprised. What always strikes me about quarterbacks in the NFL is that, like, Tom Brady just retired, right? He won, like, a half dozen Super Bowls, something like that, in 20 years. Yet NFL GMs seem enamored with dudes who can have 40-inch verticals. Like, I don't understand. Like, for a league that is just a complete copycat league, right? Why are they not copying what has worked from a quarterback position? That just seems so bizarre to me. And I'm not saying that Aiden O'Connell is going to win 6 Super Bowls or even 1 Super Bowl. But there just seems to be a premium on weird things for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, I if I'm a GM, I'm picking a quarterback who throws accurately, makes quick decisions, can move within the pocket. I don't care what his 40 time is. Can he move within the pocket? Tom Brady was the best ever at that. Drew Brees was really good at that. You know, some of the best quarterbacks ever, just their ability to move within the pocket. That's all that matters. Throw the ball accurately. Get the ball down the field. Can you jump 40 inches and run a 4.5? Who cares? Just so bizarre to me. But
I agree.
But Aiden O'Connell has been solid. I mean, I think that at the very least he has probably played his way into the roster. He probably should be the Raiders' number 2. I had the unfortunate the last NFL game I went to was Brian Hoyer starting for the Colts. The Colts lost. The Colts lost to Fitzmagic and the Dolphins at home. It was just a tremendously bad game. But yeah, I mean, AOC's played well.
He's played as well as any quarterback in the preseason, again, for that, what that's worth. But still, that's the only sample size we have for O'Connell. And, boy, he's got the dad body just like Tom Brady too, right? you know, it is amazing. You know, we were talking off air about what you brought up. This NFL obsession of being able to check boxes on a scouting report. Can he do a backflip? Check. Is he 6'5", 250 pounds? Check. Can he run a 4.5 40? Check. Oh, who knows if he's accurate? Can he throw the ball 80 yards? Check. Who cares? Who cares? None of that matters. Like you said, Kyle, can you, number one, throw an accurate ball? Number two, can you process a defense? Number three, can you make a quick decision, Kyle? Number four, can you keep your eyes on the coverage and not the rush and stay in the pocket to let things develop and not just get scared and tuck and run? And that takes some toughness too. So those are the things that matter. And like you said, being able to feel the pressure, move in the pocket. You don't have to be an Olympic sprinter to be an NFL quarterback. Just like having power windows on a car. You don't need power or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's so many extra things we get in products we don't really need. Yeah. And these things they obsess on quarterbacks, you don't really need to be a good and to be a great NFL quarterback. So it's fun watching O'Connell. He's an easy guy to root for. We know him. You know, great person. I didn't think he'd be a fourth round pick. Josh McDaniels saw something there. I thought he'd be a sixth or seventh round choice. He's in the perfect situation, right? McDaniels isn't as a Patriot guy. We all know who played for the Patriots, and that offense is suited to those type of quarterbacks. And plus, Kyle, he's got two guys ahead of him that have been injury prone. So, and Garoppolo and Hoyer. So who knows? I mean, this could end up being just another great chapter and what's been a fantastic, almost a Hollywood script that Aiden O'Connell has authored since he got to Purdue back in 2017.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch his career develop. I still remember seeing him out there for the first time back when we could watch full practices and being like, who is this kid? He can actually throw the ball for a walk-on. I mean, it's just don't see that all that often. And to watch him develop has been fun. Does that mean he goes on to have a Hall of Fame NFL career? I would not predict that, but I think he'll get an opportunity at some point. And yeah, he certainly has looked good so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like David Blau. I never expected David Blau to ever start NFL games. He's got a chance to start five games. And yeah, you just never know where life's going to take you. And those are two of my all time favorite Boilermakers. I mean, just as people, and you know, David Blau, the kind of person he is, my gosh. So, yeah. It's just kind of fun to see good things happen to good people, right?
Yep, that's for sure. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors. As always, if you do like the podcast, please rate us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a comment as well. All right, that'll do it for our show. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.